lost in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome to a Thursday here in Spouting Off Land. That's where we are in Spouting Off Land, and you can spout off too if you are listening live, 603-816-1590. Hope you're staying warm. I heard the news, the weather report in Nashua, New Hampshire, if you happen to be listening to us live in Nashua, New Hampshire, although you can listen to WSMN anywhere in the country, frankly, anywhere in the world, by just going to www.wsmn.live. That's how you listen to our show every Tuesday, Thursday, and at 1 p.m. And then we do a bonus show on Friday at 1 p.m. by going to my website. Too much information right now. Wow. So I love listening to the news before I come on. And what do I hear? But the lovely newscaster says, and the ongoing virus pandemic. Why do they keep reporting that? The ongoing virus pandemic as if it's going to be forever. And we have never declared it over because it's never going to be over. It has afforded our betters with more power, more control, and jumping the shark into dictatorships than we've ever had or seen before. I've said it. I'm going to keep saying it. When people rob you and grab your power away, your God-given rights away, and they promise that they'll give them back to you just as soon as the coast is clear, guess what? I know it's shocking. The coast is never clear. Biden kept his emergency powers that he gave himself or the whomevers who told him that he needs to keep them because, after all, the emergency powers weren't about the pandemic in the first place. And then we've seen this all around the formerly free world as places like Australia, as the pandemic a long time ago went away. The threat was never so severe in the sense that 99.86% of non-lethal virus was only lethal if you got into the wrong hospital or if you were in the wrong nursing home when people like Andrew Cuomo decided to send the virus into where you were. Then it was a grave threat. But these are the people that are telling us what we have to do to remain safe. When Australia, that didn't just overreact, they became a jackbooted thug country. We watched it happen. Suddenly, the conservativetreehouse.com, love that site, seems to be wanting to invite people back as tourists to Australia. Headline, Australian government set to launch new tourist ad campaign. I think this is from the Babylon Bee. It just has to. It's clearly tongue in cheek. Come to the new Australia. We won't beat you, shoot you, or lock you up anymore. Promise. That's from The Last Refuge. So this is the country that kicked out a professional tennis player for refusing to take an experimental vaccine, an experimental jab, because, you know, up until 2 years ago, he was under the misguided notion that he was in charge of his own body and what he put in it. Turns out he wasn't. Turns out he had to choose between his career that he loves and his body that enables him to do it. I'm talking about Djokovic, how do you pronounce it? Djokovic, tennis player, who clearly was kicked out of the country because he refused to take a vax. But, you know, it's okay. Come on over to Australia. We're not going to beat you, shoot you, or lock you up anymore. We saw the most astonishing videos of people who were being threatened, who were being kept on house arrest in their own house because they refused to obey the state. Gee, we've never seen that before. Let me tell you something else we haven't seen before. I hope you've already had your lunch or breakfast because this is, you know, not the most pleasant thing to talk about, right? I told this to my husband, who has a very strong stomach, and his reply to me was, I sure am glad that I already ate, all right? Headline, I can't believe I'm even, you know how I've said that we're living in a bad sci-fi movie? Well, we are. Headline, WFTV, and this is out of my home state. I don't live there anymore. It's become too communist, but Colorado. First legally composted human remains spread at a burial preserve. It is now legal to compost yourself. Now, they're going to be very, very respectful, don't you know? And they're going to spread it in a burial ground for composted remains. They would never use it to grow food for humans. They would never do anything to disrespect human life. I think that's what the article kind of sort of says, because it was not legal to do that before. And, you know, in great respect, dozens of people gathered for the ceremony, which was scheduled to coincide with the spring solstice. The natural funeral was performed by composting a person, as you know, and given global warming and how evil, terrible, and awful human beings are to use the resources that we have here on Earth, this only makes sense. And I was being facetious. Now, this is not an attack on religion or deeply held traditions or beliefs or the disrespect or devaluing of life itself, is it? No, it would never be that. I'm sorry. I apologize for all the sarcasm, but the left in its ignorance and evil doesn't just want to change the culture away from religious orientation. They want to force the culture away from religious orientation. I don't care what your particular religion is, but I got news for you. This is Soylent Green, the fictional movie. Soylent Green, it's us, it's people. It'll never lead to the devaluing and disrespect of human life. No, no, we're just trying to respond to climate change. And of course, climate change is human caused, and therefore we have to pay the price. We need to tear down all of our buildings and rebuild them according to socialist totalitarian rules, so that a few people can be in control and we will rob you of everything. Now, I don't know. I'm probably just a black helicopter tinfoil hat person. But I think I've seen a few slippery slopes in my lifetime to wonder what they're doing. Now, if a person wants to compost themselves, fine. But the left never does it that way. They don't believe in choice. Take a look at the ideas that they are censoring. You are not allowed to question the war in Russia and Ukraine. You're not allowed to hold an opinion that is different from theirs. That's why they tell you your ideas are dangerous. You're not allowed to believe that ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine is a viable alternative to getting jabbed with experimental drugs. You know not what is in it, and it doesn't do what they tell you it'll do. You're not allowed to distrust the propaganda media that has lied to you and lied to you and lied to you before. So no, this is the problem. The leftist ideology, the communist ideology must use force. You must have force in order for any of this to work. The minute you make it voluntary, the minute you tolerate a difference of opinion, dissent, the minute you tolerate a religious orientation that says we are to elevate human life, that we are not going to trash human life like dirt, right? We respectfully bury people. That will eventually become illegal. I promise you that today they're going to be respectful of your religious beliefs, but we've already seen how much they respect your religious beliefs. When they endeavored to shut down an entire country and tell you it was 10 days to flatten the curve, we saw hints of it immediately. We found that 12-step meetings in churches were much too dangerous for people to attend in a pandemic, but by God, liquor stores were essential. We needed to keep the liquor stores open. In fact, a lot of places, look, I'm not for prohibition either. I'm for personal responsibility and accountability, which the left would like to outlaw as well. If they can take away your accountability and your responsibility, they can take away your freedom as well. So today, they're respecting your sensibilities about composting humans, but tomorrow they'll make it mandatory. Because after all, the left loves anything so long as it is prohibited or mandatory. Now we're to the point, we are so far down the road of global socialism that certain ideas are prohibited and other ideas are mandatory. If you disagree with gay marriage, you are anti-gay and you must be drummed out of polite society. We know this. And that didn't happen overnight, did it? But it sure happened quickly. So the slippery slope that people have worried about, like when they told you, for example, that abortion wasn't a slippery slope, and of course a lot of pro-choice people who believed this having to do with liberty, I did, because I didn't want the government involved in the personal decisions that pregnant women make before they give birth. They'd never celebrate abortion or allow the killing of babies right before they're born. No, that would be inhuman. That would be insane. They wouldn't do something like that. It wouldn't lead to the acceptance of euthanasia and eventually mercy killing that just happens to be against the will of the patient and the family's wishes. No, they would never do that. Again, I must apologize for my sarcasm, but there comes a point in which all you can do is be sarcastic. You may remember that either last week or the week before, I posted the show on my website. It was the heartbreaking story of Grace that Scott Shara, her father, shared with us about how she was basically killed in a hospital by doctors who decided her life was meaningless. They gave her deadly, according to what the story that was told, I do not know. I was not there. But do the research. Physicians in the hospital gave her deadly levels of tranquilizers and then claimed that she was DNR, do not resuscitate, and the family begged and said, no, she's not DNR. Please save our daughter's life. And they refused. I don't know, sounds kind of intentional to me. Among the things that disturbs me more than anything else is the direction we're going is in the direction of a disrespect, not only for human life, but for conscience. Now, I don't profess by any stretch to be more moral than anybody else, but I want to stand with those who strive to be more moral even when they slip up and they fall short. Those are the people I want to stand with, people who know the difference between good and evil and are willing to stand for it. And part of the difference has to do with taking responsibility when you're wrong. You know, the kind of stuff your mother taught you, like don't blame other people. You know, little basic moral truisms like that. I could say more, but I have to go and take a break because my producer is telling me so. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to shift gears and have our first guest. You're listening to Spouting Off here on WSMN. I'm Karen Kettley. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Kettley.
I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. That's right, only $29.98. That's the lowest price ever. I tried every pillow from expensive down pillows that just went flat to fiber-filled pillows that rebound every time you move your head. I even tried those memory foam pillows, and the curve did not match my neck, and it probably won't match yours. That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned.
When I got MyPillow, I'm asleep almost immediately. I stay asleep at night, and I wake up more well-rested in the morning.
MyPillow has a 10-year warranty. It's machine washable and dryable. And I back them with my 60-day money-back guarantee. Call or go online now to take advantage of my best offer ever. Use the promo code to get queen-size premium MyPillows regularly $69.98 for only $29.98. Get king-size MyPillows for just $5 more. It's the lowest price ever. This is a limited-time offer and not available in stores. Don't delay. Order now. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
It's a wonderful Thursday here on 5090 AM WSMN and 95.3 FM. I'm your happy host, Karen Kettley. Tomorrow is Cash Friday. Go out and spend some cash instead of telling the big tech, big credit card companies what you spend your money on. That's my advice for you. Cash Friday. We love it. You can even do Cash Friday on a Tuesday, a Thursday, or a Monday if you want. A little bit of information here. You just heard the MyPillow commercial. And if you want to order, the best number to do that is 1-800-867-0416. That's 1-800-867-0416. And use the promo code RAM, R-A-M, RAM. Well, I am excited to welcome our very first guest. I hope I pronounce his name right. His name is Andrew Kropaschetis, and he can tell us exactly how to pronounce that. That I think it's an Italian or a French name. He has worked in the high-tech industry for over 20 years. He began his career in Silicon Valley building business process automation and selling 3D modeling software. He's founder of an organization and CEO of Red Balloon. which was founded in 2021. You probably already heard about it, as the solution to the ever-growing problem of government overreach and cancel culture, some of which we talked about just in the opening monologue. Welcome, Andrew, to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, and tell me how you pronounce your name.
You know, it's terrifying just because, as you know, it's got a couple swear words built into it. But it is Crap You Shets. There's no way around it.
Crap You Shets.
Fun name to grow up with. Yeah, Crap You Shets. As you can imagine, a fun name to grow up with.
Yeah, exactly. And all that probably did was build character, right, Andrew?
That's right. That's right. That's absolutely true.
And gutsy that you kept it. You didn't change it. And guess what? On a different level, my name is Karen. And they have completely changed the meaning. My name
absolutely
was nothing. Now it means a middle-aged white woman who complains a lot. And I cop to all of that, except, you know, if my name was Shaniqua, they probably wouldn't make fun of it.
Yeah, that right. Being You're not allowed said, to. Yeah.
We are not
That's exactly
allowed.
Right.
No, we have to have certain ideas. And if we don't, we are canceled. Tell us about Red Balloon and how you've designed and advised a way to get us past all that and a fight back.
Absolutely. So I was a CEO and an executive at tech companies really for the last 20 plus years. I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. I now live in beautiful Moscow, Idaho. I was an early adopter of getting out of California. And what you saw in the big tech world, when you're deep in that world, you see CEOs and executives who are using their company's platform to push their woke ideology, right? They're, you know, everything from, I would get emails from fellow CEOs in Portland saying we have to vote for Joe Biden as the most important election ever, using their company email system and platform to, you know, what we're seeing today, where CRT is not just being taught in our schools, it's being forced down the throats of the employees at these large woke corporations and big tech, right?
Can you say Woke-a-Cola?
So, yeah, it is absolutely a terrible place to be if you actually have ideas that are logical, like you think that, you know, girls are girls and stuff like that.
So, oh no, yes, that's terrible.
I know, it's crazy. So I was running a company, and 9 months ago, my board decided that I was a little too conservative and a little too Christian for their liking, and so I found myself delightfully unemployed. And so I looked around and thought, okay, I've been given resources and skills. How can I use those to bless other people? And I realized that this cancel culture that we all live in the big woke world is really sapping the joy out of work. People can't live their values at work. And so how do I connect conservative companies with conservative employees? And so that's really what redballoon.work does. It's called Red Balloon because if you've ever been on a hot air balloon, it's a little bit terrifying and a lot bit fun, kind of like looking for a new job. And red, obviously, because people are moving to red states, they're traveling, they're going to red regions of blue states, they're looking for freedom at companies that actually respect their freedom. And dot work, just because work is really deeply satisfying, and dot com sounded too much like communist to me. So I thought, you know, Red Balloon dot work, there it is. So I started this business really 6 months ago, almost on a whim. And it was something that obviously is in high demand in America right now because freedom is needed. And so every business on redballoon.work has signed a pledge that they will respect the freedom of their employees. They believe the Constitution still matters and applies to all of us. And they're not going to require things like a vaccine to get a job. And all the employees on redballoon.work will also sign a pledge that basically they're going to be hardworking people and aren't going to be a bunch of complaining snowflakes blizzarding at the HR department about all the things they don't have. And so it has been an extraordinary journey over the last 6 months with over 1,800 employers who have signed up, many hundreds of thousands of job seekers who have been looking for freedom, because I think a lot of America is waking up and they're tired of having the woke ideology jammed down their throats. They're realizing that, you know, Cash Friday is a good day to make sure that you are not just living in the system, but you are finding like-minded people that you can work for, that you can shop with. And we're trying to solve that piece of the, we'll call it the alternative economy equation.
Oh, that is wonderful. Talk about innovation, which is what communists don't want.
That's right.
I would think there's so many great questions. I'm on your site right now. I have so many interesting questions, but the very first one is, we have seen that as soon as conservatives come up with great ideas that really make a difference, that really make a dent in the power structure that the communist, socialist, Marxist left is trying to force down our throats, they do whatever they can to shut you down and to punish you. Have you found that yet?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Facebook and LinkedIn were quick to point out that we were, you know, a hazard to society and turned off our LinkedIn account. But guess what? Here's a lesson that I've learned over the last 6 months is liberals are happy to take a punch, but it doesn't mean they're actually brave. And so if you swing back, they'll usually, or at least I've found, they back down pretty quickly. And so when LinkedIn turned us off, we kind of went sideways on them a little bit, and we have I have a significant network and started pushing on them. And lo and behold, Red Balloon was back up on LinkedIn. So I think that's also a lesson for conservatives. We're the largest ideological group in America, but we're the least likely to say anything. And I think we need to stand up. We need to be brave. We need to have a little more courage, because we are the group that's getting things done in America. And really, we are the people who could save America if we're willing to speak our minds, work really hard, and pull ourselves out of the system a little bit.
Andrew, let's examine that a little bit closer. What exactly did you do that worked, that said, we're not going to take this, we're going to fight back, and what can people glean in their own field and profession and wherever they're getting shut down? Let's look at that a little more. What exactly did you do to get reinstated? And, of course, we want so much more competition that you don't ever have to beg any organization to accept you. But let's see what you did here.
And what kind of world do we live in that, like, oh, you're about freedom – and you're in America, that's dangerous, right?
You're a domestic terrorist.
You're a domestic terrorist. And I mean, you know, I heard a, you know, commentator talk about, like, you know, freedom is a far right wing concept. I'm like, really? Do you know where America came from? Do you know all these liberties that you're enjoying, all the prosperity that you're enjoying? Do you know where that came from? But we got digressed. So when Lincoln shut us down, my PR gal, who was running a lot of my media strategy, basically sent an email every day CCing various other people who are on LinkedIn saying, hey, it looks like we're still down. Clearly a mistake, because we are not a domestic terrorist. We need this put up right away for us to not need to go on a campaign talking about how LinkedIn canceled us for no good reason at all. And, you know, when you send that email every single day, and you are including other influencers and other people who we know well every single day, you know, you get attention. And that's part of it is, you know, the left is better at fussing than the right is. And
fussing.
We need to.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Fussing,
yeah,
fussing, right? You know, it's a nice way of saying it. And so we need to be better at saying, no, we actually, I'm not going to accept that. And we can do it differently, right? You don't want to be the shrill screeching that you sometimes hear on the left, but you absolutely, in all confidence, say, no, I'm not okay with what you have just done, and you shouldn't do that anymore. I was actually talking to a friend who had some stock in Costco, and Costco was supporting a gay pride parade, and he called up the investor relation lady and said, hey, I am hotly opposed to this. And I am a shareholder. And she actually said, thank you. She said, look, I hear from the left all the time about all the ideology they want us to be pushing, but I never hear from the right because, you know, I think a lot of us conservatives just can grow numb to pain pretty quickly. But he said when he called Costco, they said, you know, now I can go into that board meeting and say, you know, we have investors on both sides of this issue, so we're not going to touch it. And so, but it was interesting. She's like, I hear from the left all the time and I never hear from the right. And yeah. I think this is a lesson for all of us that it's time to do something and you'd be surprised what you can accomplish when you actually have an opinion, stand up and say the right thing.
What does your media person or you think of the way our opponents play the game? They have bots and they have massive numbers of computerized phone calls and whatever that can make it seem like a small number of people are a huge amount of people. And I don't mind telling you, people who are desperate to win and to subjugate others wherever they are, and there's even some Republicans that want to do that, they cheat. So how do you deal with that?
Yeah. Well, part of it is you just don't play their game, right? I was talking to someone at a big company and they're like, oh man, you know, CRT and training they're putting me through right now. And I basically have to change my, you know, profile to include pronouns. I'm like, so you have more power than you think you do. And it's time for you to quit and go find someone who actually respects your freedom. Go find a new job on redballoon.work. Go support a company that is doing good because another story, a lady talked to me and she was at Deloitte and she had just gone through a 2-hour CRT training being told she was evil because she was white and, you know, no other factors.
The accounting firm? Right. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Correct. Right. And so
traditionally
and
sort of conservative, you know.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Right. Right.
Okay.
But no, they just, you know, they're kind of bowing to the right. But then yes. She's like, you know, morale's at an all-time high because we've all just been told we're evil just because of our skin color. And then the manager basically says, you know, I wish all these unvaccinated people would go to an island and die together. And it's like, so that was said by an American to another American. That's terrible. And she's like, in that moment, I thought, okay, fine. And so she raised her hand and said, you know what? I'm not going to get the jab. And there's like dead silence in the room, right? But then two other people raise their hand and say, you know what, I'm not either. And so I think the lesson is it's a lot easier to be brave.
I'm not going to get the job? You mean I'm not going to apply
get
for the job?
Jab. I'm not going to get the jab.
Oh, the
I'm not going to get the vaccine.
Jab. Got it.
Yeah,
got
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Good.
Right.
Good, good, good.
And so, right, but the thing is, it's easier to be brave when you know you're not alone. And
yes.
So I'd say when the left is using various, you know, bots or technology to make you believe that there's more of them than there are of us, you just have to not believe it. Be brave. There's a lot of people around you that share your ideology. And when you're an employer and you post a job on redballoon.work, you're telling other Americans, don't worry, you can be brave at work. And if you lose your job, there's great other jobs and great companies for you to work for.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I support it. I already have an organization in mind to send to Red Balloon Marketplace, and I'm at redballoon.work, and I'm looking at the Red Balloon Marketplace. Encourage everybody to go there, marketplace.redballoon.work. That's about all the time we have. We have about 20 seconds left. What's your final thought? And boy, I love this. Andrew Krapuschets.
Yeah, nicely done in the name. And I would just encourage people, you know, do something to bless other Americans. Do something for freedom, and you will be blessed by that. So go do something today, whether it's going to redballoon.work, whether it's, you know, standing up for something important. If you do something, great things happen.
And you have done it, and you're leading the way in this department. Thank you, Andrew, for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Take care. When we come back, we're going to have another great guest. I'll tell you about him after we come back from this break. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? Allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. Eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, In our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off here on WSMN. I'm your happy host, Karen Cataline. Boy, it's practically the weekend. We have a bonus show tomorrow, Friday, 1 p.m. All you got to do is go to www.karencataline.com. If you know how to spell my name, you'll find more about me than you ever really wanted to know. Last name spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Subscribe to my newsletter. It's only once a week, and usually you'll get the heads up on whatever article I might be writing. And I promise not to sell your information. I wouldn't know who to sell it to. I sure wouldn't sell it to people that want to monitor you and track you. That is for sure. Well, I am delighted to have once again, I've been interviewing him a lot lately. His name is Dr. Michael Bussler. He is a real expert on the economy, a public policy analyst and a professor at finance at Stockton University, where he teaches undergraduate and graduate courses in finance. He's written an op-ed columns, not just one, many, in major newspapers for more than 35 years. Welcome, Dr. Bussler, to the program.
Well, thanks for having me, Karen. As you know, it's my pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm glad that you've made the time for us, Doctor. I guess I'll just call you Michael if that's okay.
That's
I feel like we know each other for a while now. And there's so many things that the powers that be, and I don't even like calling them powers, want us to be scared of. Well, it isn't hard to be scared of inflation. I mean, we can't just live by, we can't let fear run us, that's for sure. But inflation is such a cruel tax on every single one of us. It devalues whatever wealth we've been able to save without our approval. We didn't vote for it or anything else. And now they're blaming inflation on none other than Putin, Putin, Putin. Talk about that, if you would.
So let me start off by saying none of the inflation recorded so far has anything to do with Vladimir Putin. Why is that? So the latest numbers we have are from the month of February. The data, most of the data is collected by the 20th of the month. Putin didn't do his invasion until the 24th, and that's when prices spike. So you'll see something next month's number, but so far none of the inflation has to do with Putin. How bad is the inflation? Before I say that, you mentioned it's a cruel tax, inflation. Who it hurts the most is low-income earners and people on fixed incomes. Wealthier people, prices go up, so they end up having less money to save and invest. But with lower-income people or people on fixed income, they don't have any or very little money to save or invest, so when prices go up for them, they have to cut back on their standard of living. It's a cruel tax, and it hurts the most vulnerable in society. Mm-hmm. How bad is the inflation? Based on the last number we got for the month of February, the last 12 months, that is February 2021 to 2022, inflation is running at about 8%, 7.9%. That's the highest inflation rate we've had since 1981, so four decades. Unfortunately, the inflation rate is not going to come down any soon. In fact, I'm very fearful within the next two or three months, probably by summer, you'll see the inflation rate at over a 10% level. And now that gets to be some real serious problems.
Very serious.
Yeah. You may ask, why do we have all this inflation? So the Biden administration and the Federal Reserve initially said that this was temporary. They used the word transitory, and it
you
will
mean
go
like
away.
10 days to flatten the curve like that?
One of those kind of things.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Now, obviously, that didn't work. It wasn't transitory. And even now they're saying, look, the inflation problem is primarily caused by disruptions in the supply chain, although now they're starting to blame Putin. But they're still saying it's disruptions in the supply chain. As soon as all that is resolved, except for what Putin might do, the Putin effect, inflation should go away. Now, I disagree with that strongly, and why. So as of now, the economy is producing at a level that's about 2 to 3% higher than before the pandemic. So in total, economists would say in the aggregate, in total, supply is greater than it was before the pandemic. Now, it is true in some markets, in the market for imported goods, because we can't unload the ships fast enough, in the market for imported goods, you'll see some supply shortages, and that'll drive prices up. And in some markets, in markets that need computer chips, for instance, because there was such an increase in demand for chips and somewhat decrease in supply, we do have a shortage of chips. So things like automobiles that require a lot of chips or some computer products, you'll see shortages and some inflation. But overall, it is not the supply chain that's causing inflation. So our next question is, well, what is causing inflation? There, in my view, there are four reasons why we have inflation today. And if you look at them, you'll see why inflation will get worse in the future. Number one, energy inflation. The Biden administration from day one declared war on fossil fuels, and they want to wean the country off of fossil fuels. So they canceled the Keystone pipeline, which in the long term has a negative impact on supply. In the shorter term, in the immediate term, they stopped drilling on federal lands, and they stopped drilling on the, in the Anwar province off the coast of Alaska, and they made the permitting process much more difficult. That has reduced our supply of gasoline, oil, and fossil fuels. We're producing about 5 to 6% less than we were producing during the prior administration's peak years. That reduction in supply, coupled with an economy that's growing and an increased demand, has led to a higher energy prices. And that doesn't affect us only with buying gasoline and oil, et cetera, but it means that business pays more for energy, so their costs go up, and they have to recover that in the price. It also means retailers are paying more because all their goods are brought in by truck, and now transportation costs have gone up. So reason number one, the Biden administration's policy on energy, and we have energy inflation. Reason number two, we have wage inflation. Why? Although we're producing more today than before the pandemic, we're doing it with about 1.5 million fewer people. Business is trying to attract these people to come back to the market. The only way to do that is to raise wages. Well, you say that's good for the workers. They're making more money, and that's true. However, it drives up labor costs for business, which means their costs to produce go up in addition to their energy costs going up. That's right. Driving prices up.
Right. My forced a $15 an hour wage in many places, but gas in many places is $8 a gallon. So,
right. Exactly.
You know.
Target, I think, announced that their starting wage is up to $24 an hour. I say that's great for the workers, but again, that's driving up their costs.
Right,
as
of course.
As a result, it will be inflationary. That's two reasons on the cost side.
Can I ask a question real quick before you get to three and four? Because we have a limited amount of time, and I do want to give you an opportunity to do the third and the fourth. But I'm told, and I want to check it out with you, that when they give the inflation rates, like 8%, the cost of living, et cetera, they don't even count the cost of gas, of fuel. Is that true? That's not even reflected. Is it?
Well, it's partially reflected. The true cost is not in there. Really, what the problem is, when they give the consumer price index, which really affects us, that's the 8%. The Federal Reserve uses something called the personal consumption expenditure, and it's always lower. And the reason is with the consumer price index, when price goes up, we record that. The personal consumption expenditure says, well, if the price of beef goes up, you'll buy less beef and buy chicken or fish instead, so you're really not feeling as much of the inflation. Now, I believe that's a disingenuous number because it doesn't measure inflation. It measures how you might react to the inflation.
Correct. Gee, yeah. You mean they would misinterpret things for their own benefit to socially engineer? Nah, they wouldn't do that. Okay, well thank you.
That appears to be exactly what they are doing.
Yeah. Thank you for answering that question. Okay, go to number 3 and 4.
Real quick, and I know you're pressed for time. So the 3 and 4 have to do with excess demand in the economy, and why is that? The federal government has spent nearly $6 trillion more than they took in tax revenue in the last 2 years. That, on a $22 trillion economy, almost $23 trillion this year, that's purely inflationary. And the fourth reason, which is the main cause of inflation, the Federal Reserve has shockingly irresponsible monetary policy. Inflation was flaring up last year at this time. They should have reduced the bond buying program and started to gradually raise interest rates a year ago. They did nothing. As of this month, the bond buying program has been stopped, and they just started to nudge up interest rates. Not nearly enough. They're still having an expansionary policy, and until they tighten up on that, we're going to continue to have more inflation.
Mm. We do have about 5 minutes or so, roughly. Okay. Roughly. And in that time, I want to ask you, from a layman's perspective, we've been told for years, we've had low interest rates for a very long time. I remember a time when you could get a 10% return on your money. It shows you how old I am. On a certificate of deposit. And now you get that's another story that is just amazing. People have become used to allowing the bank to use their money for free. It's perfectly okay. But you could comment on that as well. But we've also been told that, God forbid, when the interest rates finally do go up, the cost on the national debt is going to explode and could really harm us. Talk about that and any other, the other issue if you want to, but that one.
Yeah, that's a very serious problem. So the public debt, which is the total of all government deficits they run up over time, is about $31 trillion, trillion.
Yeah, give or take.
Well, is that a problem? Most economists would say if you keep the public debt under 1 year's GDP, you're okay. 1 year's GDP is in the $22, $23 trillion range. We're up to $31 trillion. You're way above. What's the point you bring up? The interest expense on that debt will run about $400 billion this year. Mm-hmm. And because there's no program in place to ever pay back that debt. So if they sell a 10 or 20-year bond, when it matures, they don't have money to pay it back. They sell new bonds to pay back the old bonds, and they roll over the debt. That's why the public debt keeps growing. To your point, it's $400 billion interest expense this year. Most of that debt was taken out at interest rates at 1.5%. Mm-hmm. In the next few years, the Treasury bond rate will go to its historic normal, which is about 3%. So when you start refinancing all that debt, you're going to double the interest expense. So now you're up to $800 billion a year, and Congress continues to add more debt. We could be seeing a $1 trillion annual interest expense on the public debt in the not-too-distant future. That's too heavy a burden for future generations to carry, and it's a lot of money that the federal government can't use for more productive means.
And Dr. Michael Bussler, these are the people that want to surveil individuals who may spend $600 at a time. And these are the people that want to give us advice on how to manage our money, how to manage our lives, how to manage our families. These are the people who've done such a good job of managing the money we were forced to give them. That said, I'm going to ask just the toughest question, and you only got a couple of minutes. What can the individual consumer and investor do with this kind of black cloud hanging over people's head?
Well, you try to do the best you can. For the individual consumer, you have to be price conscious. So when prices go up, the normal psychology, and has been for, you know, decade, if a price goes up, you say to yourself, well, I'm not sure I'm going to pay that price. Maybe I'll look around for something else. You know, I'm not just going to accept a higher price. Once you get into the inflation psychology, though, you see a higher price and people start thinking, I better pay that now before the price gets higher tomorrow. That leads to an inflation psychology, which makes inflation worse. So that's the
first
thing.
Yeah, but you can't do that with essentials. I mean, with essentials, you can't say, I'm not going to buy milk anymore because milk is too expensive and you have a 12-month-old baby, you know? There are things that are essentials that, again, these bureaucrats are controlling and manipulating and making and forcing the prices to go up and up and up.
So what you said is there's really a limited amount the individual consumer can do, especially on necessities. And you're absolutely right. And that's why we're going to feel now and continue to feel very frustrated about these prices. There's not much we can do about it. Investors.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Forgive me. I tell you one thing that is really cool is a lot of people are slapping stickers on gas pumps that say, I did this. And there's a picture of Biden on there.
Yeah.
Forgive me. I just wanted to throw that in.
It's all because of him. Now, some of the future in the next month or two, you can say, well, there's a reduction in supply to the overall market because of we're putting sanctions on Russia. But that's not going to have much of an impact because what happens is Russia is selling the oil to China and China's reselling it into the market. So there will be some effect, but not much of an
effect.
And
from a philosophical standpoint, you know, we don't want to get our oil from Russia because they're so evil. So we get it from Venezuela and Iran instead.
Which are also evil. What we need to do, and I wrote a column on this, Biden needs to reverse his energy policy immediately and let
and
the American industry start to produce more. I know he's worried about the climate change, but right now we have to worry about the security of the country. So let's deal with that.
I hate to tell you, I don't think he's worried about much of anything, but the powers, the whomevers who direct his presidency are, you know, if I may say, I don't think, you know, as long as Biden gets his ice cream, he's probably all right. And it's an insult to the rest of us to be dealing with such profound, serious questions at a time when we have obvious concerns that the person in the Oval Office is not equipped or not compromised. Your final thought there, Dr. Michael Bussler, what do you want to leave us with?
Let me just say that what we can really do is to elect people that say they're going to have sensible policies. So we got have an election coming up in November. Mm. Vote for people who say they're going to have sensible energy policies, a sensible balance between energy production and climate change, and someone who's not going to spend us into oblivion. Yeah.
Thank you for all your expertise, Dr. Michael Bussler. Always a pleasure to have you on the radio. Just Google his name, Dr. Michael Bussler, and you will find it. And his writings, which he's been writing for 35 years. That about does it for us and the week here at WSMN. Tune in tomorrow at KarenKathleen.com for another edition at 1 p.m. on Spouting Off. Have a wonderful weekend. And there will be way so much more to talk about next week on Spouting Off.